Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Job, chapter 23, verses 1 through 9, and then verses 16 and 17. Listen to the word of God. Then Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn that he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give heed to me. There an upright person could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in darkness, and thick darkness would cover my face." The same God who inspired these words to incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had an argument with an associate? Did you ever get ticked off by the telephone solicitor just as you took your first taste at the dinner meal? Did you ever get crabby with a clerk or a corporation? Have you ever declared war with a waiter or a waitress? Have you ever felt ripped off by a retailer? Sooner or later, I think most of us have some experience with the business world or service professionals that makes us wish there was an easy way to at least register a complaint in a decent fashion. There is, of course, the Better Business Bureau, and that agency could be effective in resolving a dispute between a consumer and a company, but that doesn't happen in every case. And of course, sometimes our gripe is not over a product or a transaction, but it is over an attitude, right? I mean, I just don't like the way the waiter treated me. I just don't like the edge in the voice of that hotel clerk. For Pete's sake, they could have been a little more caring and compassionate. I mean, how much does it take to really just be friendly and kind? Right? Well, I was reading a few weeks ago about a place where you can let it all hang out, even as you hang out your gripes and concerns. It's called the Bad Business Bureau. And you can find it, I am not kidding, at www.ripoffreport.com. It is an aggravated consumer's paradise where once you register your criticism, it stays on the public record for as long as the website exists. And as of just this past Tuesday morning, the website still existed with lots of dirty laundry hung out to dry. Lots of complaints. And of course, nobody edits your griping and complaining, unlike the Better Business Bureau, where complaints are removed once they are satisfactorily resolved. This site allows all of the grievance statements to remain, quote, "to create a working history on the company or individual in question." Can you imagine some of the working histories that are out there? What's more, you can stay anonymous while you're filing your grumblings, which is just the way apparently most folks want it, as you can tell once you check out the site. The site does, of course, offer the businesses a place to offer a rebuttal, And of course, there are other sites now that make it their business to remove one's name or the name of one's business from the ripoff report, or at least move it past the target pages of Google, Yahoo, Bing, and AOL. And so goes the battle for our time, our attention, and our money. In today's reading, Job is a guy in need of a bad business bureau where he can register his complaint. Because apparently, the one he is registering his issues with just ain't listening. Or so it seems. Or more accurately, the reality is that Job's issues are with God himself. And even if there was a bad business bureau available to him in his non-technological age, well, there's no power or organization on earth that can pressure God to do what God chooses not to do. Most of us, I think, are familiar with the general essence of the book of Job. Job is about as good of a man as you can get. The writer of the book tells us in the very first verse of the story that Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Eugene Peterson, in his very fresh and creative translation of the text, puts it this way. He was honest, inside and out, a man of his word who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. And one day, of course, Satan challenges God and says to God, "You know what, God? One of the reasons Job is so well behaved and so upright is because things are going so well for him. He's got his cake and he's eating it too." And Satan says to God, "But let me at it for a while, and we'll see how long things are good for him." He says, "Let me at him, and he will curse you to your face." Well, God, of course, permits Satan to do exactly what Satan has requested, which brings up all kinds of theological questions for the faithful, but that's another sermon. That being said, Satan deals big time on Job, and so he takes away all of Job's property, his land, his house, his possessions. He kills his livestock and Job's children. And he afflicts Job with all kinds of health issues that his insurance just will not cover. At the end of the story, we know that all things are eventually restored to Job, largely because he doesn't curse God, even though I would argue with several others that he comes mighty close sometimes in some of the language he uses in the text. But our reading for today is from the middle of the account, when Job is drowning in his misery and intensely bitter about what has happened to him. And he's feeling all that he is feeling, as we can only imagine. And to make matters worse, Job's three friends, whose names are what? Anybody know? Great trivia question here, Bible trivia question. And you all would not get it right. Three friends. Kermit, you remember one of them from 8:30? No? Good for you. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Great Bible trivia question answer. Remember that. Job's three friends. Same with me. Eliphaz. Bildad. Zophar. Quiz next Sunday, same time, same place. His three so-called friends are in Job's face for chapter after chapter, insisting that Job must have done something wrong for so much trouble to have come upon him in his life. So entrenched was the belief back in the day that the sins of the father revisit him generation after generation. And so his friends have been urging him to confess his sins and repent so that he can get on with life in some fashion. Job, however, knows that he's done nothing wrong. He's innocent. And he perceives his hardship as simply some sort of whacked divine injustice. And so he says in today's reading, "Today, also, my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning." Peterson's translation puts it more strongly. "I am not letting up. I am standing my ground. My complaint is legitimate. God has no right to treat me like this. It just isn't fair." And Job's next statement makes clear that there is no divine complaint bureau where he can get any kind of hearing to affirm the injustice of his situation. "If I knew where on earth I might find him, I'd go straight to him and lay my case before him face to face." Again, Peterson's translation catches our attention with its intensity. Job says, "I travel east looking for him. I find no one. And then west, but not a trace. I go north, but he's hidden in his tracks. The south, but not even a glimpse." And as a result, Job yields again to his anguish. At the end of our reading, he says, "God makes my heart sink. God Almighty gives me the shudders. I am completely in the dark. I can't see my hand in front of my face." And I wonder this morning, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you have searched everywhere for God, but He's nowhere to be found? And as a result, you feel incredibly disappointed and let down and broken, totally in the dark. Maybe a better question is, when was the last time you felt that way? The 20th century poet W.H. Auden once said that our dominant experience of God today is of God's absence, of His distance. And I think that may be true for many in the 21st century as well. What do we do then when God seems far away? Well, my friend David Bailey, who, as you all know, is now, well, drinking coffee with the angels, he had some thoughts that I think might have been helpful to old Job. David recorded them in his song, "Be Still," on his Silent Conversation CD. I'd have liked Job to have given it a listen. I think he might have learned a thing or two. I think it might have helped him. Maybe it'll help you. Listen.
"If God seems far away, guess who moved? We spend so much time totally confused. Flying high, digging low, still so much that we don't know. And then we're told that we should talk to God. So many times we think we don't know how to pray. And when we do, we still are never certain what to say. These are questions we have every hour of every day, and the Lord says, be still. Well, if God seems like He's different, guess who changed? Well, we spend so much time trying to rearrange, spinning webs, turning wheels, climbing walls, clicking our heels. Then we're told that we should talk to God. So many times we think we don't know how to pray. And when we do, we still are never certain what to say. And these are questions we have every hour of every day. And the Lord says, be still. But God seems like He's silent. Guess who is? We spend so much time turning life into a quiz. Write it down, spit it out, make it clear, kill the doubt. And then we're told that we should talk to God. So many times we think we don't know how to pray. when we do, we still are never certain what to say. These are questions we have every hour of every day, and the Lord says, be still and know that I am God.
Eventually, Job is still. Very still for a very long time, for four very long and full chapters, as God takes his good old time answering Job in a way that only God can, out of the whirlwind. Over the course of chapters 38 to 41, God basically begs the question of old Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Eugene Peterson puts these words on the lips of God. Are you going to haul me, the Mighty One, to court and press charges? Good people of God, we need to remember as we think about the story of Job that being still when God seems far away is not the only thing we can do. We need to remember that we know about the conversation between God and Satan in the beginning of the story, and that God agreed to allow Job to be tested. Job, however, didn't know that. And that is huge. Because it means then that what may seem to Job as God's indifference is really God's restraint to allow the test of Job's faith to continue. It is not that Job needs a bad business bureau to call in complaints against God, but rather that God needs Job to stand the test and still trust him, which of course in the end he does. There are plenty of times in the story where Job is filled with an overwhelming sense that he is suffering unjustly and that God will not give him a fair hearing to plead his case. But even though that is so, he does not lose his faith. And eventually he receives a response from God that meets his need. And so for me, in the end, Job's story is a story about faith. And it reminds me that God is a good God. And Satan is a bad Satan. And it reminds me, too, that when God seems far away and all is dark as night, at the core of that experience is the hope that we will know and believe that God is fully engaged even then, and that God is completely, crazily in love with every single one of us. And more than anything, I think that is what Job teaches us. It is certainly what God wants us to know. When it seems like God is far away, it is our perception that needs to be tweaked. Spend some time this afternoon or later on in this week with chapters 38 through 41 in the book of Job, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. God was there all the time. Not the author of the evil and the suffering, but a very present help in the midst of it. Fully, completely, intimately engaged with his creation, with you and me, all the time. So, my friends, when it seems like God is far away, may you be still and sit with the book of Job a while and listen to God speak to you. And may you come to the same conclusion that Job did in chapter 42, verse 2, where he says, after listening to God for four chapters, I am convinced, God, that you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. And may that be for us good news. Let us pray. God, many of us have not had near the experience of Job's suffering. But many of us have had our fair share. We know what it feels like to feel pain and suffering. And you know, God, what it feels like to be blamed for it. And so, God, the next time we find ourselves in the dark night of the soul, help us to check our perceptions and be reminded that you have been and will always be fully engaged with each of us. And we pray in your name. Amen.